Today, money, politics, and the truth. My guest is Brooks Jackson, who runs factcheck.org. We talked a month or so before the election about the whole question of does truth matter in this election? And now that the election is over, I want to check back with Brooks Jackson. Brooks, thanks for being on the program again.
David, my pleasure.
Well, now what do you think?
Well, now I think both sides gave their version of the truth, which didn't always stack up with the facts. One side was 52% believed, and the other side was 48% believed.
Yes, well, why let the facts get in the way of a good attack ad?
Well, that's exactly the attitude both sides showed during this campaign, and I think because the stakes were so high, both sides sort of figured that it would be the end of the world if they lost, and because it was so close, everybody expected it to be even closer than it turned out to be. Both sides were swinging for the fences and not letting journalists or even corporate CEOs, in the case of Mitt Romney and his claim about
Chrysler
moving Jeep production to China, weren't letting them get in the way of a good political assault if they thought that might get them some votes.
So in this torrent of unprecedented flood of ads, you know, funded not just by the Obama and Romney campaigns, the Democratic or the Republican parties, but also by the super PACs, what were your favorite howlers?
Well, two that stick in my mind, and I don't, it would be wrong to call them favorites because I don't much care for these sorts of things, but two that stick in my mind is just being particularly wrong or on the part of Mitt Romney, has claimed that the president was planning to eliminate the work requirement from welfare and just send people a welfare check rather than requiring them to work, when the facts were, even under George Bush, only 29% were in compliance with any sort of work requirement, and all Obama was doing was proposing to grant waivers to states if they requested and if they could show that they would move people off welfare more quickly. So far, not a single state has even applied. That was a pretty bad falsehood in my mind. I guess an equivalent on the Obama side was his repeated claim, by, or at least by the staff and in their TV ads and on their website, that Mitt Romney somehow wanted to ban abortion even in cases of rape or incest, as though the distinction between these two men wasn't clear enough, one being for a woman's right to choose, the other being against generally. But Romney's always been, since he took this anti-abortion position, always been quite clear on favoring exemptions for
rape and incest.
Cases of rape, incest, and, of course, to save the life of the mother if that's in danger.
What was it like for you as the last weeks of the campaign came in? Were there more facts to check, or I mean, what was the sort of ebb and flow of the of the truth police out there?
Well, oddly, I think in the last two or three days, it was sort of an eerie calm for us because, frankly, except for the claim about Romney, Barry Romney, that Obama was, or that Chrysler was going to move Jeep production to China, there weren't any new claims. They were repeating old ones. They were kind of going to their base and to some extent going positive at the end. So we spent the last day putting together our annual Election Day awards piece, where we kind of look at the weird and offbeat ads and those that had not really attracted much notice in terms of their factual accuracy, but it were just fun to read about.
Well, then what were the winners? You've got me very curious now.
Well, it's on our website, factcheck.org, our 2012 awards piece. But, oh, we have a fellow who was running for office claiming that he's giving a phony quote from Will Rogers, saying some people are so dense they don't learn unless they pee on an electric fence. Graphically acting that out.
Oh, my.
Will Rogers never said that, it turns out, but we thought that was worthy of note just because of the questionable taste. I guess my favorite award was the Abigail Evans Award, the little girl who burst into tears when her mother played one too many NPR programs about the campaign out in Colorado, 4 years old, and that was the YouTube video that went viral where she's, "I'm tired of Barack Obama and Mitt Romney, and her mom says the election's soon going to be over. That's the way we all felt at the end.
I bet. My guest is Brooks Jackson, the director of FactCheck.org. We're talking about money, politics, and the truth. Now you know, you've been looking at the whole nexus of politics and money for decades, and here we've just had this first presidential election post the Citizens United decision in the Supreme Court. When you look at this election, how different was it? Give me some perspective on the impact of money in this election as compared to previous ones.
Well, there's an interesting piece out today from OpenSecrets.org, very good nonprofit website that tracks money and has kind of assessed the winning averages of some of these super PACs and labor unions and others. And some of the ones on the Republican side in particular scored very poorly in terms of the weighted amounts of money they spent versus wins by the people they supported, or more likely losses by the people they opposed. Look, it's always been the case that the press and the public overrate the effects of money in politics. You can't do without money. I mean, it's not having it is always fatal because you can't get any message out to the public. But I think this campaign, like a lot of others, proves once again that money is just one factor and not necessarily, not even the most important factor in winning an election. Once both sides have enough, other factors determine the outcome.
Like the quality of the ideas and the demographics of the population, perhaps.
For example, yes, indeed, and the state of the economy and the public mood in general.
You know, I guess I saw an article about Sheldon Adelson, who was one of the biggest donors. I think he was batting 0 for whatever. I mean, I don't think he backed a winning candidate.
He started backing Gingrich, so he had struck out in the minors, so to speak, and then he backed Romney and struck out again. Yes, it's look, the landscape is littered with millionaires and billionaires who either run for office and lose, financing their own campaigns, or in Adelson's case, write huge checks to candidates who lose or to attack candidates who win. There's a lot of money, probably too much. It gets spent, what I object to personally, after covering both money and politics and the factual accuracy of the ads, what I object to really is the way a lot of this money is spent. In other words, to basically misinform or disinform the public, to put out claims that just aren't true. I think that really is the real way in which too much money spent in a malicious fashion, malicious is too strong, it creates impressions in the public that aren't true, and then we have a hard time making good public policy because so many bad facts have been distributed and hammered home, and they inevitably get believed just through sheer repetition.
But not always. I mean, one of the surprises was that the reaction to Mitt Romney's charge in the ad about Obama wanting to move Chrysler Jeep production jobs to China probably horribly backfired on him, and maybe why he lost Ohio.
That may be true. We'll wait to see what the post-election analysis shows, if some of the campaign insiders come forward and share some of their polling data with us and speak with us perhaps more honestly than they can in the heat of the campaign. I don't see how it can possibly help to make a claim that frightens auto workers into thinking they're going to lose their jobs to the extent where their own corporate CEOs have to reassure them and are publicly attacking the candidate. I mean, corporate CEOs attacking a Republican candidate.
You don't see that too often.
You don't see that too often, and that can't help. So I think you're probably right. It probably did backfire, and it certainly, I don't see how it could have helped Romney to have been called out, not just by journalists and fact checkers, but by corporate CEOs who were in charge of the things he was talking about. And that may turn out to be one of the seminal moments of this campaign, if it can be shown that confronting these falsehoods aggressively enough and with enough authority makes them unprofitable, then we might see fewer of them. I think that it may be a rare case. I hope not. I hope that's the sort of thing that we can replicate, and I hope that's the thing that a lot of future politicians digest and think about before they go out and make similarly wild or false claims.
So I'm kind of, you know, wondering now about the Supreme Court's Citizens United decision, which opened the floodgates to so much money. But in the end, it seems like the money didn't matter. So was the Supreme Court right with the Citizens United decision, despite all the moaning and groaning on the liberal side?
Well, I won't offer an opinion about whether the Supreme Court was right or wrong.
I thought I might get you there.
Five justices on one side and four on the other, and they can't agree. Just a majority of them agreed. I'll say this. I think the Citizens United case got the attention of the press and the public in a way that hadn't happened before. I mean, the fact is there had been very few restrictions left on what a millionaire or a billionaire could do. Citizens United, the truth is, it didn't really change the playing field that much. Anybody who wanted to use corporate money or labor union money or a $10 million check from somebody like Sheldon Adelson could perfectly well do it. And they're still using now some of the devices, specifically the 501c4 nonprofit advocacy group, that they were using before. It may have legitimized that kind of money in a way that made people more willing to give. But there was plenty of it before. There was more after. It was spent in pretty much the same way. We've just reached a new pinnacle, and maybe we'll reach another one next time. I don't know. There never seems to be any end to the increases in the amount of money that's available for these ads and for these groups. I think it's going to be interesting is to look now at how effectively this money was spent. I think Karl Rove's got a lot of explaining.
And
if you caught his performance on Fox News on election night, where Fox had called the election in Ohio for Obama, and Rove was saying, no, wait a minute, I've got some returns here that I think he can still make it up. He was arguing with the network's election call for a good long time.
That was one of my, yeah, that was definitely a truly bizarre moment. Well, you know, Brooks, to wrap this up, I mean, the election's over. Now what do you do?
What I do is a little less. I'm proud to say I think factcheck.org is now set up with a good solid staff. I'll give you a little preview. It hasn't been announced yet formally, but I'm going to be stepping down as director and working part-time. It'll go forward under the directorship of the man who's currently my deputy, Eugene Kiley, a former Philadelphia Inquirer and USA Today reporter and fact-checker. So I look forward to doing a little less, taking it a little easier, spending a little more time with grandchildren and maybe a little more time fishing.
Excellent. Well, Brooks Jackson, the current but not future director of factcheck.org, thanks again for being on the show.
David, it was my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.